What up, everybody? I am the Transportation Hub, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Hub Talk Chronicles. Now, in today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about the unveiling of the new Subway Customer Service Centers that's set to take place this upcoming year, since we're transitioning from MetroCard to Omni, which is One Metro New York. We are going to talk about the proposed changes for the 7 line, which will take place during the late winter, during the mid-winter to mid to early, from mid-winter to mid to early spring of this year. And last not least, we are going to talk about the incident where the NYPD allowed the domestic fascist terrorists Proud Boys to evade the subway fare. So without further ado, y'all, let's get right into the episode. Alright, so of course, you know, all my information comes from the MTA press release stuff. So here it is, alright. First 6 centers to open in early 2023 in all 5 boroughs. 15 customer service centers to open in 2023. Builds a new announcement that station agents will largely work outside of booths. Now, for those of you who have been aware, right? Station agents have stopped taking money and loading MetroCards in booths effectively as of 2021, right? Because of the transition to Omni, right? Most of these station agents' booths will be working at future customer service centers dedicated to One Metro New York. Alright, so here's the info. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority and Transit Workers Union, Local 100, announced the next phase of enhanced customer service through the opening of comprehensive customer service centers in the subway system, designated to provide additional direct customer service in targeted high traffic subway stations. Customer service centers will be a resource for assisting riders with Omni use and reduced fare support, among other customer needs. Customer service centers will open in 6 subway stations in early 2023, with 9 additional stations expected to have the centers opening later in the year. Alright, everyone who's on here, ranging from NYCT Transit President Richard Davey, MTA Acting Chief Customer Service Officers Shanifa Riera, Transit Workers Union Local 100 Stations Vice President Robert Kelly, have all said that. Has all said that they're trying to make it easier to receive support for switching to Omni, enrolling in the reduced fare program. Customer service embodied North Star commitment of the customers expected at New York City Transit. Customer support centers will bring comprehensive customer support directly to riders at the subway stations they use. By meeting with the customers they are at, we can enhance their experience, including switching to Omni, reduce fare support, and assistance in collecting customer feedback. And this is where the TW Local 100 Stations Vice President comes in. Riders want customer service and stations that are staffed with people, not just Omni card vending machines. The union wants to preserve and protect our station agents' jobs in the future. These customer service centers will help achieve our goals.
All right, so the station agents are there now. They're not going to be laid off from the job. They'll be transitioned from station agents to customer service agents once Omni is fully implemented, and all of the Omni customer support centers are 100% constructed. All right. Okay. So customer service centers will be staffed by station agents 24/7 and all occur in 2023. Now, here are the first couple of stations that will be receiving these Omni stations, Omni customer service centers in 2023. These stations are the 161st Street Yankee Stadium on the 4B and D lines, 34th Street Pennsylvania Station on the 1, 2, and 3 lines, Atlantic Avenue Barclays Center Station on the 2, 3, 4, 5, B, D, and Q and R lines, St. George at the Staten Island Railway Station, Coney Island Stillwell Avenue Station on the D, F, N, and Q lines, Flushing Main Street on the 7 line. Now, there'll be a second wave of 9 customer service centers to be rolled out in the course of 2023 at these following stations: Fulton Street, Broadway, Nassau on the 2, 3, 4, 5, A, C, J, and Z lines, which is also World Trade Center, so duh. Myrtle Avenue, Wyckoff Avenue stations on the L and M. 74th Street, Jackson Heights, Roosevelt Avenue station stop on the 7 E, F, M, and R lines. East 180th Street station on the 2 and 5. 125th Street, Lexington Avenue on the 4, 5, and 6 lines. Fordham Road on the 4 line. Times Square, 42nd Street on the 1, 2, 3, NQRW and 42nd Street shuttle lines. Sumter Boulevard, Archer Avenue, JFK Airport on the EJ and Z, and 161st Street, Washington Heights on the 1, A, and C lines. So my overall review, like, this is for all the existing service agents, for all these existing station agents, right? This is not a layoff job for you guys. This is more like a huge promotion, especially the fact that you're an employee. You know, you're a customer service agent and you've been working this position for like many years on end. Like, you should be receiving good pension. You guys should be receiving real good pension. Okay? And you know something else, you guys, right? This is more of a promotion because y'all gonna be transitioned. Like, customers, like agents who are employees who are existing station agents or soon to be station agents, you guys are gonna be promoted to customer service agents for One Metro New York, which is Omni, and that should be an amazing feat. So take this moment to be proud of yourselves. We'll be right back with the story on the 7 line. Alright y'all, we're back here. Okay, so I want to talk to you guys real quick. As you all know, it was mentioned last month that the MTA is slated to have a weekend disruption on 7 line service this year between midwinter to like early to mid spring. All right, so MTA to begin construction on accessibility project at Queensboro Plaza, 6 weekends of 7 line closures. All right, so for 6 weekends between February and April, right? 6 chosen weekends, right? There'll be no 7 train service between Queensboro Plaza and 34th Street Hudson Yards. All right. So, free shuttle buses will be provided in both Queens between Queensboro Plaza and Vernon Boulevard, Jackson Avenue, where there's connections to Queens Plaza, on the E and R, and 21st Street on the G line. All right. So the first outage is expected to happen on Saturday, February 4th from 12:15 a.m. to 5 a.m. Monday, February 6th. Alright, so the purpose of the this weekend closure, right, is because they want to, because the MTA is poised and is centered and focused to make the Queensboro Plaza station a fully accessible station. Okay, now, so get this, right? We have some stations that are fully accessible. We have in that vicinity in Long Island City, right? We have the 21st Street Queensbridge Station, which is an ADA station. There's Queens Plaza, which is an ADA station. Court Square, 23rd Street, which is also an ADA station. And that's too much in that area. So there'll be no 7 train service between Queensborough Plaza and 34th Street Hudson Yard. NNW trains and free shuttle buses will provide alternate service. Oh, I forgot to mention, for Manhattan service and shuttle buses, right? Shuttle bus service in Manhattan will be provided between Times Square 42nd Street and 34th Street Hudson Yards. Alright, so as you all know, Queensboro Plaza is a station with a high ridership and in the center of a rapidly growing neighborhood, render it a complex construction project involving work to be done over the busy 11-lane wide approach to the Ed Koch Queensboro Bridge, two of which are bike lanes. This project is also in coordination with the construction of a redundant accessible entrance on the north side of the station under a zoning for accessibility ZFA project. Alright, so the usual MTA officials, you know, Transit President Richard Davey, Construction Development President Jamie Torres Springer, and Chief Accessibility Officer Quemel Arroyo, they all tout and approve of this plan of making Queensboro Plaza an ADA accessible station. Alright, so we all know how it's going to be. The station's gonna have upgrades, upgraded mezzanine, upgraded stairs, elevators and so much more. Alright, and the project is $74 million and is expected to be completed by mid-2024. Alright, this will have upgrades with new fire alarm systems, installation of a new security camera system, a new public address system, and digital information screens, offering better communication with clearer announcements and greater access to information via screens. Alright, the Queensboro Plaza accessibility. Alright, so main details on the service changes, right? So these service changes will happen between, so I just mentioned 6 weekends, right? So those 6 weekends are between, it will start at Saturday at 12:15 a.m. It will end the following Monday at 5 a.m. Alright? So those dates will be Saturday, so those dates will be from February 4th to the 6th, February 11th to the 12th. Oh, I read it wrong. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. So from Saturday, February 4th to Monday, February 6th. So it'll go from 12:15 a.m. Saturday, February 4th to 5 a.m. Monday, February 6th. And that's just that one weekend, all right? And from the remaining 5 weekends, it'll go from Saturday, it'll go from 3:45 a.m. Saturday to 10 p.m. Sunday. And it'll be these following weekends: February 8th to the 12th, February 25th to the 26th, March 11th to the 12th, March 25th to the 26th, and April 23rd, 22nd to the 23rd. All right. So that's pretty much it on that. And your alternative services Your alternative services services to get you to and from Manhattan in Queens will be the EF&R at 74th Street Broadway or at Queensboro Plaza, where you could transfer to the N and W trains. However, W train service will run on Saturdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. between Astoria Ditmars Boulevard and 34th Street Herald Square, in addition to N train service during the times that 7 train service would be suspended between Queens and Manhattan. Oh, and the 42nd Street Shuttle will run overnight service as well. Yeah, so that's pretty much it on the accessibility project for Queensboro Plaza on the 7 line. Now, please, my listeners, stay tuned. Okay, stay tuned as I give you a full synopsis detail of the New York City Police Department and the Proud Boy terrorist. Okay, y'all, and we're back with our last and final segment, right? For those of you who don't remember or probably forgot, last week during the holiday season week, right? Between Christmas and New Year's, duh. A whole slew of racist, fascist, dirty ass Proud Boys made their way to Jackson Heights, Queens, alright, to go in front of the Queens Public Library in the Jackson Heights neighborhood, which is the Jackson Heights branch, of course, to protest an event that supposedly or allegedly, I don't even know, nor do I care, that quote-unquote drag queen story time was taking place at that library. Like, Proud Boys got word of it, and they hopped the LIRR or whatever the hell it is that they came from, took the LIRR to Woodside, all right, and they walked their way to Jackson Heights, all right, to stand in front of the Queens Public Library Jackson Heights branch to protest some drag queen story time, all right. And this happened over a week ago. Nobody has heard it in the news. Nobody has said anything about that. But I'm gonna get to the part where this is mainly focused on the podcast episode the most. But for now, I want you guys to listen to two videos that belongs to Brenna Lip, aka Skeezix10. I hope I said your name right. Yes, so shout out to her. She got one but two videos. The first video I'm gonna play with you guys is the Proud Boys standing in front of a Jackson Heights Public Library branch protesting a drag queen story time.
Proud Boys, conservatives, and white supremacists showed up to protest a drag story hour event at Jackson Heights Public Library in Queens, New York. However, pro-LGBTQ+ supporters, many of which Jackson Heights locals, greatly outnumbered the white supremacists and protected the drag story time. Kids at the story hour and library goers looked out the window to see on one side signs spewing hate, and on the other side, bright signs of encouragement for the drag story hour. In between the two sides were the NYPD, and after one man gave a literal blank salute, 12 officers gave him a private escort out.
This is what we knew the NYPD needed to do! Protect a literal Nazi! That's a literal fucking Nazi! That is what is everyone is filming right
the
now!
The NYPD then attacked the pro-LGBTQ+ side when protesters were behind the barricades and one person was arrested. When the two sides were dispersing, the NYPD gave the Proud Boys a private escort to the train station.
So dangerous.
Meaning that the residents of Jackson Heights, Queens, were forced to see the NYPD giving Proud Boys a private escort through their community. Once to the train station, the NYPD and Proud Boys committed fare evasion, which is,
Proud Boys don't have to pay for the fare.
Is especially offensive considering the NYPD have issued over 40,000 tickets for fare evasion just in the first 6 months of 2022. Yet Proud Boys get to ride the train for free. And as I was filming this video, I was told to go back and pay for the fare.
Oh, I have to pay for the fare, but they don't. Is that the situation you're saying? Proud Boys don't
have... Proud Boys, conservatives, and...
Is that the situation you're saying?
That's correct.
About a month ago, I made a video about the NYPD protecting TERFs and arresting trans rights protesters that were on the sidewalk. It's important to note that these anti-LGBTQ+ conservatives, white supremacists, and TERFs alike are not even from New York City. They come to communities they're not a part of to spew hate and get attention.
This is our neighborhood! Get out!
But I've said it before and I'll say it again. New York City is a microcosm of what is happening in the rest of the country, which is why demonstrations like these that don't get mainstream attention should be taken seriously. What happened outside Jackson Heights Public Library in Queens in response to a drag story hour is symbolic of how New Yorkers protect each other, shows who the police protect and serve, and how LGBTQ+ rights continue to be under attack.
Alright guys, so you just heard the first video, right? So my review on this is, how in the world did these fascist, racist, faggy ass fucks, alright, allowed to come into our neighborhoods to wreak havoc, salute some horrible ass Nazi sign, and get a nice... I get a nice and lovely escort back to the Roosevelt Avenue subway station. All right. While they antagonize, while police antagonize and attack pro LGBTQ supporters and community neighbors and locals in Jackson Heights. How is that possible? And what's even more crazier than that is that they were allowed to evade the fares, right? As you just heard, right? The NYPD, right, has released at least over 4,000 summonses alone for fare evasion within the first 6 months of 2022. But they allow this whole racist fascist group of Proud Boys just walk through the streets of the neighborhood, terrorize the innocent people, spew their BS hatred and one of you, and get to walk scot-free? No, when these things happen, these fucks need to be jumped. That's number one. And number two, there needs to be an NYPD internal affairs investigation, because I truly think that they're intertwined with these racist fucks. That's number two. And three, the mayor needs to say something about this, because this went down in his city. All right. Here in New York City, we don't tolerate fascism and we don't tolerate no faggy BS Proud Boys. We don't. We do not. Alright? And another thing, right? This is one of the reasons why Lee Zeldin is not governor. I know this is not an episode about him, but I have to say this, alright? Y'all know that Lee Zeldin is allegedly associated with the Proud Boys, as stated in some article back in 2015, right? And we all know that the Proud Boys are highly rampant in Long Island, more particularly in Nassau, and more particularly in Nassau and Suffolk counties. counties, but let me tell you this right now. If Lee Zeldin was governor today, right, he would have said nothing about this because he would have normalized this shit. And this is why, Lee Zeldin is a fraud. He's a joke. He's a total clown. And he is not a governor now. And I'm happy he's not a governor now. And he will never be on. And he will never be our governor. And that's on period. And that is on period. And I said what the fuck I said. And if you're a voter of Lee Zeldin, if I hurt your little feelings, too fucking bad. I said what I said. That's that. It's a free speech, and I said what the fuck I said. And that's that. All right. And as for the NYPD, right? They need to be investigated. Like the FBI literally needs to come in and investigate how the NYPD allow this fascist terrorist group, all right, go to some local neighborhood out here in Queens to terrorize community members and the locals and the businesses around there to protest some story time that has nothing to do with them in any shape, way, or form. Get escorted by the NYPD back to the 74th Street, Broadway, Roosevelt Avenue, Jackson Heights station without paying the fares. And you got some one punk ass faggy ass Proud Boys saying, oh, because we special. Like guy, you ain't special. You are nothing more than a domestic terrorist. A domestic terrorist who went and invaded our neighborhoods, terrorized the locals and innocent people, and then were allowed to evade the fare. Me as a regular person, I could never get away with that. If anyone were to, you know, jump the turnstile or go to the door without paying or whatever you, right? Right? We would have been hit with a summons and you probably would have been roughed up, but you allow these motherfuckers to come to our city, wreak havoc, and evade the fair, and they get to walk out of there scot-free. Like the mayor, Eric Adams, he needs to look into this. NYPD, Keyshawn Sewell, and the top staff of the NYPD needs to look at this. And I really feel the NYPD internal affairs need to look at this. And I really feel like the FBI needs to look at this too as well, because I truly believe that some of the Proud Boys who are in Jackson Heights, Queens, all right, are most likely on the FBI's watch list. Most likely. I wouldn't know. I'm just spitballing here. You would most likely be on the FBI's watch list. And I wouldn't be surprised if some cops are intertwined with Proud Boys as well. I wouldn't be surprised. So, yeah, that's my feedback and input on the whole incident of the Proud Boys invading Queens and then invading Fair afterwards, right? Like here's the thing though. What? Police and community affairs of NYPD were so lazy they couldn't walk the faggy ass Proud Boys back to Woodside. And instead of going back to the Jackson Heights subway station, right? Why didn't you walk them back to Woodside LIR? Because there's no way in hell that they came back on the subways. They arrived there on the subways. They arrived via the LIR and they got off at Woodside. So why didn't y'all walk them back to Woodside? You could have walked them back to Woodside. Like, seriously. But you know what? This cannot go on. This cannot slide. Some people need to be reprimanded. know, some people need to be investigated, and the FBI needs to get involved in this. So that's because what happened in Jackson Heights, Queens, is literally a microcosm of what is happening in the rest of the country. You know, you got Proud Boys and Oath Keepers and Third Percenters and what have you popping up, harassing innocent people with story while they're doing their story time, drag queen or not, I really don't give a shit. And it's just a microcosmic of what's happening with the rest of the country. And the Proud Boys shouldn't be allowed to evade fairs either. If that was the case, then you should have walked them back to the LIRR Woodside stop where they came from. So anyways, but they will probably bypass the customer service area and not purchase a ticket. I wouldn't be surprised if the Proud Boys were just, you know, hop on the train and they never paid for an LR ticket. Because if y'all remember this, right? Nearly 2 years ago, right? A former LR employee, right? He skipped work to go participate and be a domestic terrorist and attack our nation's capital back on January 6, 2021. Same thing with a Metro North Brewster Yard employee. He also participated in the attacks of January 6, 2021 at our nation's capital. And we have yet to hear about those two cases in the far future, because many people who participated in the insurrection are still getting charged, are still getting arrested, and still getting sought, and still getting found out to this very day. Forget the NYPD, because they ain't never gonna do shit. You need the higher ups. You need the FBI involved in this mess, because this is insane. Like, some members of the NYPD need to be investigated, find out if there are links, if they have links or ties to the Proud Boys, and some members of the Proud Boys need to be investigated too as well, because this is insane. This is insane. If you could allow domestic terrorists to go through a neighborhood and terrorize people who actually live in the neighborhood and allow them to evade the fair, there's no telling what these people will allow these fascist fucks to do. There's no telling. Really. I feel like the whole situation is just disgusting to me, man. Like, come on. Like, come on. You need to do better. Seriously, do better. So, I'm going to end it here. If you guys enjoyed the podcast episode, make sure you listen and subscribe to the Hub Talk Chronicles, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow the Transportation Hub on Instagram. Like and follow the Hub's Facebook page, and subscribe to the Transportation Hub YouTube page, and set your notifications to all. Okay, so you get all my notifications. All right, so please and thank you. Once again, this is the Transportation Hub signing off, and I will see all of you guys at the next stop.